Dr. David Caputo, President Emeritus of Pace University. You're listening to 103.9 LI News Radio, your political go-to station.
And you are listening to him as well right now, Dr. Caputo, of course, President Emeritus of Pace University, retired Pace Professor of Political Science. Nice enough to join us here on a Tuesday. Sir, great to have you. How are you feeling?
I'm just fine, Jay. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I hope the president's doing well. It kind of threw me for a loop regarding this hydroxychloroquine and decided, you know what? I'm just taking it because I want to take it. You know, I mean, quite frankly, that's a head scratcher right there, considering the toxicity it could present to some individuals, not all, to some. What about that when you heard that news?
Well, I too was surprised, and to some extent, but not completely. This is a president who has the ability to divert attention, and I think he is diverting attention again to himself instead of some of the more major things that were on the news schedule yesterday, specifically the Barr comment about the Obama-Biden investigation, the Russian investigation, and also the FBI preliminary report on the shooting in Florida by the Saudi national, which may be linked to Al-Qaeda. So those two things, plus other things. I think the president, I think to understand the medicine, I think this is part of a broader attempt to really discredit the scientific and medical community so that he can continue to move towards the reopening. And while he still has medical and public health consultants, their role has been diminished greatly over the past week or two. And I think you'll continue to see that because the emphasis is really on the reopening and the restructuring in terms of the economic comeback that the president feels he has to have if he's going to be successful with the reelection.
Who knows? The valet that came down with Corona, as well as the vice president's aide, it could certainly make you be preventative in a way, but certainly out of the blue when we heard that news. You bring up the situation out of Pensacola, and the question, I guess, overall all is, David, did Al-Qaeda strike on American soil last year? And I say that because new information from the FBI about a shooting, we're talking about the Navy base, Pensacola, it left three U.S. sailors dead, I think it was in December, and you had the director now, Chris Wray, the attacker, a member of this Royal Saudi Air Force, longtime associate of an Al-Qaeda affiliate who had communicated, by the way, with operatives from the group as recently as the night prior to the shooting there. So that's a very interesting aspect there. And investigators now have uncovered the connection, I guess, after the FBI, David, broke through the encryption protecting the Saudi attacker's iPhones there. What about that?
Well, I think it's potentially very troublesome in terms of being able to infiltrate at that level. These are programs that we offer, that we work with various countries around the world where we help to train some of their supposed star military individuals. And if this turns out to be in fact the case, then, you know, we have to question not only the arrangement with the Saudis, but with other countries. But I think it also raises the issue that we know that international terrorism is not finished, that we're likely to see other types of attacks and other types of forms. The other thing that I think is really significant in the last 24 hours is the apparent the Attorney General Barr's comment that neither the former vice president or president are considered to be criminal targets in the special prosecution that's going on about the Russian investigation. I think the president's comments that he was surprised to hear that needs to be cause for concern because you aren't sure if there's going to be further intervention. But broader picture here, and I think this is something that everyone needs to pay some attention to here, we're really seeing the broad outlines of the fall campaign starting to take shape. And there are a number of questions yet to be answered. But I think by the 4th of July, we'll have a very good idea exactly what this campaign is going to look like and where the emphasis is going to be. So the next 6 weeks will be very interesting to watch as we enter into really the summer season with the starting of Memorial Day and then move towards the 4th of July.
No doubt, President asked to respond to those remarks Barr made on Monday, you know, where he said a current investigation of the origins of the Russian case would not lead to the scalping, so to say, of Obama and Joe Biden. You know, it shouldn't become a kind of a tit-for-tat type thing. So, you know, a little bit of a disagreement there. But, it's interesting that Barr still cautioned, when asked, David, of a current review into the FBI's maligned Russia investigation could lead to criminal charges against Obama or Biden. So, you know, it's interesting how he kind of answered that regarding, I guess, I'm kind of paraphrasing, not every abuse of power, no matter how outrageous it could be, is necessarily, as he called it, a federal crime. Some of the comments Barr had made there. What about that?
Yes, I think that's important, those comments. But I think the other thing that the Attorney General stated, which was very interesting, is comment that he is Attorney General, the powers of the Justice Department would not be used as a way to bring retribution to political opponents. So I thought that was an interesting comment also, since that was did not necessarily follow from the others. I think the role of Barr going forward will be very interesting to watch and significant to watch in terms of the Justice Department, especially when we get into questions involving voting rights and so forth. So, again, an important ally for the president, and I think will be a significant political player as we go forward.
What about the unmasking? Talking about the Michael Flynn deal, David, you know, you look at these disclosed names, you know, besides Biden, you have the chief of staff back in the day, McDonough, Comey, Intel chiefs, Brennan, Clapper, that's quite a list there. And you look at the acting director of National Intelligence, Richard Grenell, sending this list to Congress after they were declassified. What does it say as far as those names are concerned? You know, unmasking just for the folks to kind of, you know, it's the process of revealing, ladies and gentlemen, to certain officials, the names of people caught in conversations with foreign officials who are under surveillance. What about the methodology and everything else and the revelations in that regard regarding that list?
Well, I think it continues to raise a series of issues and questions. But, you know, this is in the past, and going forward, exactly what is going to happen and how are you going to control for these things and so forth. So I think that for most Americans, there is some concern raised about the process and so forth. But I also think that they're aware of the fact that we're in a new era now and things have changed, and it'll be very important to see how the administration proceeds and what revelations there may be, especially as it relates to the Inspector General firings and exactly what's involved there. So, again, I see all of this as part of a broader political show in terms of people trying to discredit and be able to take credit for the things that they think are most important in the upcoming investigation. Election. I'm sorry.
Yeah. One thing before we go to the state and Cuomo regarding the pick for Vice President and Biden. Listen, I said way back that Kamala Harris would be the nominee. She'll be the second choice vice president. I still think it'll be Harris involved here. Other people, you know, have other ideas. You know, Susan Rice's name has been brought up a lot. What do you think here? Who gets the nod as far as you're concerned? Is it Harris, Abrams? Could it be Susan Rice, excuse me? What do you think?
It could be any of those individuals, but I think a different way of looking at his selection and the process is to look at perhaps five or six criteria. One would be the geography, one's the electoral strength that the individual would bring, one would be the chemistry with himself, another would be the policy position the person might have. Probably the most important for Biden is the experience. Does the person have the experience to be able to step in to be president? And then clearly race has got to be a consideration for him. So I think if you look at those criteria and you look at the various candidates, I think there are different ways to be able to handicap whether or not they're going to be the choice or not. For instance, if the emphasis is going to be on the electoral strength, so where are you going to concentrate? Are you going to concentrate on trying to recapture Michigan and Pennsylvania, or are you going to look to say, wait, maybe Georgia and Florida and Arizona are in play? And I think those make critical points. And you haven't raised the possibility of someone like Representative Demings from Florida, who I think would be on that list. There are other people, certainly Senator Klobuchar would be on that list. So it's going to be a very interesting set of decisions. But I think what it will reveal to us, more so than just the individual, it will reveal the electoral strategy that the vice president's going to use going forward, because he'll pick an individual who represents that strategy. Two other points that I just would make here, and one is age is very important. I think he has to find someone who's younger, and that, I think, to some extent works against Elizabeth Warren, as it does geography. But on policy, I think Elizabeth Warren, except for the major break on the Medicare for All, would be a candidate, for a serious candidate. But I really think that she's more likely to have a cabinet position if she decided she were to, if the vice president were to run.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Listen, I still think Kamala will get it. The connection made on that debate stage way back, referencing to her as a child, and on that busing issue and everything else, and that was a home run. And I thought that would really catapult her, and it did for a while, and then she slipped. But I think it'll be Kamala. Let's move to the state for a second here. These nursing homes, you have an independent probe underway here regarding the policies. I don't like it. 5,500-plus deaths, quarter of the state's fatalities attributed to the nursing home, David. I don't like it because the attorney general, works regularly with the Department of Health. So in essence, I don't want any ties at all. This should be an independent probe as far as I'm concerned. Plenty of ineptitude and dropping of the ball from way back. What about the investigation?
Well, I think here it's late in coming. I mean, we've known the disproportionate rate of infection and death in the nursing homes. And I think it really comes back to some issues involving regulation and the enforcement of regulation, where in many cases the nursing homes were simply overwhelmed and they were not able to respond as they needed to. And the state was slow in picking that up. Once they did, they tried to respond, but in many cases it was too late. So the investigation, I think, will probably end up showing that, and then the issue becomes where does the responsibility lie?
The overall thing for me is that March 25th directive. I'm sorry. How does a COVID positive get readmitted into a facility? Whose idea was that? And that, to me, is going to be the focus of it all, what happened way back in the March.
Yes, I think that will be part of it, and I think the justification will be readmission but isolation, but that was not always followed, so that you really created a very strong set of circumstances for positive for increasing the positive aspects of the COVID infection. One last point on the virus, and that is the discussion on the vaccine and good news, positive news yesterday. We'll see how far things move forward. But statistically, my understanding is only about 10% of vaccines that reach this stage go on to be successful. Let's hope that the work being done by a variety of companies that at least one of them would be successful, if not more of them.
Let's keep in mind for a long time, hopefully, Myrna 1273. That could be the magic potion here. We'll see. Positive stuff. Only 45 patients tested. We got another round in July. Sir, always great to talk with you. Stay healthy. Stay well. We'll talk next time.
Very good. Thank you, Jay. Stay well.